Good morning. Welcome to Worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. Today we're going to be reflecting upon the end of things, as Jesus describes it there in Mark 13. Continuing on a little bit from what Pastor Bob had relayed last week. But we're actually going to begin our service, I believe, with a baptism. So I'm going to kick it back over to Pastor Bob.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic. Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Go. No, just kidding. All right, first of all, folks, this is an amazing thing that we get to gather together in our Father's house, and today we do get a special treat. Liam Harrivan is going to be baptized this morning, and so the parents and godparents could come forward at this time. That would be wonderful. All right. Well, here it is. Today is the last Sunday of the church year, which we just talked about. And last Sundays of the church year, the readings are all kind of scary because it's all like end times apocalyptic stuff. But that doesn't apply to him right now, other than that this prepares him for that day, because there is going to be a day when Christ comes back and takes all the people who die in him to heaven. Troublesome thing is that it says Romans 12, it says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And so the question is then, how can a baby be saved? Because how can a baby have faith? How can a baby know Christ? But our God is big enough and awesome enough to come up with a plan for, even for little infants. And so he gives us this incredible gift of baptism by which the Holy Spirit works on even the tiniest little heart, and that and actually does give baby's faith. So here's the responsibility that comes with that. From this point forward, you're not just going to be raising your own child, but you're going to be raising a child of God. And that's a lot of responsibility, because what that means is not only are you going to see to all his earthly needs, but you're going to be seeing to his eternal needs. You're going to be raising him in the faith, helping him to know and love the God that knows and loves him, and helping him to know all the things that his God has done for us, especially Jesus' death and resurrection that earned him forgiveness. Are you willing to do this?
Yes.
Excellent. And your job, godparents, your job is to hold them accountable and to support them and encourage them. Life is crazy. It's busy. I've raised children. I know the deal. It is. It's very, very intense. And at times you can get so distracted by all the things going on in life that you can forget sometimes even the most important things. So if you see that he's not getting everything he needs, first of all, pray for him constantly. Encourage him. Pray for his parents. And then also encourage them to continually bring him to God and to help to make sure that he knows the stories of God's actions in the world found in Scripture, and make sure that they bring him back to church so that he is able to learn the doctrines of the faith, and that he can make his own confession one day and his confirmation. Are you willing to do this?
Yes.
Outstanding. With that then, I get to hold the baby. Hello, Liam. All right, and how is Liam to be named? What's his middle name and last name?
Joseph Harrivan.
Okay. Liam Joseph Harrivan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So now, I got to baptize the baby, but to tell you the truth, it wasn't really me doing it. I'm just a guy. God did something amazing here today. And God has brought this little person into his family, into his kingdom. And so now let me present to you the youngest and the newest member in the kingdom of God. All right, and now this is a really important day. This is a day that he is brought into the kingdom of God. There's going to be a lot of times as he is raised that he's going to wonder who he is and what makes him special and why is he valuable and all this. The answer to all those questions is in this day today, that the God of all creation touched him and brought him into the faith and into his kingdom, into his family. He is truly divine royalty. He is a child of the King of all creation. And there's nothing more important than that. And this is something that can't be taken away from him. This is who he is because of who God made him to be. And so to help you remember this day, we want you to take the napkin to remember, you know, for scrapbook. We want you to take the candle. We light this candle remembering the faith that God has placed in his heart today. And then I'm going to blow it out, and it doesn't mean that his faith went out. All right. And then we also hang, I want you to use that candle, though, on his birthday. Just plop it right in the middle of his birthday cake so that he remembers not just the day he was born, but the day he was born again into the kingdom of God. This banner, I want you to hang it in the house, someplace prominent where he's going to see it, and children, as they always do, ask why. Why is that there? And you can tell them, you have this banner to remind you that you are a prince in God's kingdom. All right? So this is what we give you, and let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the Haravan family, Lord, and especially this new little gift of Liam. Lord, I pray that you would bless Liam, that you would grow his faith, that you would help him, Lord, to love you and trust you better every single day of his life, so that in the good times he can give you praise, and in the bad times he can cling to you, knowing that you love him and never leave him alone. Lord, I pray that you would be with his parents. Give them wisdom, give them tenacity, Lord, to continue to teach him, Lord, everything that he needs so that he can grow in you every single day. Thank you, Lord, for this, your great love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and keep his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Amen. All right. You bet. All right. Thank you, folks. All right. And now for the rest of you. Remember when you were the baby. Maybe you weren't a baby when you were baptized, but do you remember the day that you were brought into the kingdom of God? You remember that day, and if you don't have that day, if you were not baptized, talk to me. We do baptisms here. But this is an important thing that God has given us, a time that we know that God has brought us into his kingdom and connected us to himself. It's a relationship that begins at baptism and exists for eternity as we spend our eternity with him. And so as this is true, let us remember the day that we were baptized as we begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. We thank you for this day that you have given us to bring you praise and to live out our salvation, to live out the faith that you have put in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to work in and through us today. Help us, Lord, to better understand your word, your gospel, Lord, your forgiveness and our relationship with you because of all that you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's confess our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done. And by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's return praise to God.
Looking up above, filled with is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, 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 oh.
Is Lars. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege to read the scripture for you today. Our first reading is Daniel 7, verses 9 through 10, and then verses 13 through 14. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was aflaming with fire, and its wheels were all blaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was like the Son of Man, coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and all people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Listen, this comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory and power, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know the summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know that time, when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. All right? Very good. Now it is time for the children's message. And so I want to invite Mrs. Denise to come forward and to do the children's message for us this morning. Miss Denise?
So, can you really hear me now? Man. So my friends, some of them had water in their house and it ruined their stuff. And then one of my family members fell down and got hurt, and so I have to go visit her in the hospital. And then I got really sick. Have you ever fallen down and been hurt?
I fall down.
Yeah. Have you ever been sick and had to take yucky medicine?
Mom,
yeah.
I
know. It's terrible.
One time I got sick and I need to go to the hospital.
You did? I know. So you know what?
Eli did fall down. And
you did fall down?
He hurt.
Well, guess what? Let me tell you something else. On top of all that, this week I have to clean my whole house and cook a bunch of food for a bunch of people, because I have a big family. Do you know why? Why do I have to do that?
Thanksgiving?
Oh my goodness, you're right. So now I've got all these people coming to my house. I'm just getting over a cold. So here's what I did. I thought, all right, I better get something to decorate so everybody in my family knows I'm thankful. So I bought this banner, and I thought I'd hang it up. And what did I put on it?
Leaves.
But what does it say on the leaves? Nothing.
Only one leaf. Look.
Have you ever read the books from, what's that called? Chronicles of Narnia,
yeah.
And the Silver Chair.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in there named Puddleglum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Do you know Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh books?
Yeah.
Just call me Eeyore. That's how I feel. So I said, okay, I'm going to bring my banner to church and my pen and my notes. I'm going to take some notes, and I'm going to come up with some things that I'm thankful for, and I'm going to write it on my banner. So I get here, and I'm in the back, and I'm ready, and guess what I hear? I wrote this down, that Jesus is talking to his disciples, giving them a big, long speech, and he says, someday the moon and the sun are going to go dark, and the stars are going to fall out of the sky. Did you hear that? Did you hear what Pastor Bob read? That was not encouraging, right? And so I kept listening, and then I heard him say, but Jesus told them this, but God's power will never end, no matter what. No matter how hard life is, his kingdom in heaven will never, ever be destroyed. You knew I was going to say that? And his promises in the Bible, his word is always true. And it will never, ever go away.
I knew you'd say that.
And no matter how hard life is, no matter how hard, even if I'm sick or my friends are sick or there's disasters in the world and all kinds of bad things happen, God will always, always love us. Is that something to be thankful for?
Yeah.
And you know what? I want everyone to know that. I want them to know that I am a grateful person.
Yeah.
I am very grateful. And so I'm going to write some things on here that I just thought of. And if you guys are interested, I brought some banners for you too. And I have some friends who are going to help me give them to you. So here's what I'm going to put on my first one. Ready? I'm going to put dumpsters.
Yucky.
No, I love dumpsters. Because you know what? When somebody has a disaster, we can pick up all their bad stuff and throw it away, and we can clean up, and we can start new. So dumpsters are awesome. Do you know what else I'm going to put on here? Flushing toilets. I love toilets that flush. Because when people have bad things happening, or if something breaks in your house, your toilet doesn't flush, that is a very, very sad day, right? And so I also really like running water, because I know that if I turn on my sink and water comes out, it's clear and I can drink it and it's healthy. I have so many things to be thankful for. That big family who's going to come and trash my house and play with my toys on Thursday. Yay!
I knew you were going to say that.
I am so excited about that. So, let's do this. I am going to say a prayer, and you guys can pray with me too. And then I'm going to finish filling out my banner after I give you guys a banner. And you know, I'm kind of weird, the things I'm thankful for, but you can think about things too. You're always thankful for family and food and all that. Think about some things you're thankful for that are unusual when you fill out your banner. You older kids who know what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes it's hard when disasters and bad things happen. But guess what? God gives us an opportunity to go talk to those people. And if you've ever seen me driving around town in my little race car, you know, it's all-wheel drive and it goes everywhere all the time. And God gave me that car, and every morning it starts, and I'm so thankful, because then I get to go out and visit friends and talk to them about Jesus. So think about the ways that you can talk about Jesus to friends too, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for all our blessings.
Thank you for all our blessings.
And that we believe your promises. And we will be with you one day, in heaven. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, good deal.
All right, I'm thinking maybe go ahead and take your nice gift that Miss Denise gave you back to your seats, and then you can meet up at the cross there for a little worship if you're age 4 through 4th grade there. All right. Do I have a sermon slide? How does it end? I could pull my hair out if I had any. That's a nice layup joke. But anyway, no, today we're going to be continuing to reflect upon Mark 13, where Jesus is talking about end time things. And as I was reflecting upon this sermon and different things, I was realizing that a lot of times you see the movies or shows that talk about somebody's end. And I find it usually goes one of two ways. Either they do everything they possibly can to avoid the future that's allegedly been told to them of taking place. Like, if I'm told I'm going to die by a piano falling on me, then I'm going to avoid piano shops like none other and everything else. And of course, it inevitably happens anyway. Or the other option is kind of like country song, Live Like You Were Dying, you know, where you go skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. Spoke sweeter, loved deeper, gave forgiveness you've been denying. It's important stuff. But anyway, point being that, you know, you suddenly have this change, and if it's a comedy movie or whatever, then it's the type of thing where suddenly, oh, there's a miracle, and they're fine. But they've now come through this process and are a better person. And yet here it is that Jesus is talking about the end of the age that we are in. I want to first note the first reading that we had from the book of Daniel. And as we think about end things, sometimes it all kind of sounds like this, does it not? Where you have, I looked and thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, his hair and his head pure wool, and throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. Are you tracking all of this? This is like, yeah, this is very clear. I know exactly what's being communicated here. If you're not, that's fine. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make here. Just to note, the Ancient of Days, I would say probably talking about God the Father, we might say. And I'm noting that because then you have later on where it says, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, the clouds of heaven. And there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. In case you're not sure, the Son of Man is Jesus. But to Jesus, then, is given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, languages should serve him, and his dominion and everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And I'm noting this because as we try to glean over God's word to get a full picture of, well, what's going to happen? How will I know the end is coming near? There's a lot on the one hand that God says, and a lot of it at the same time is using language and imagery that is challenging. Admittedly, in this sermon, I will not be covering all imagery and what it means. I don't even know, to be honest. But the point I'm trying to emphasize is how this can lead us sometimes to avoid it entirely, or perhaps to be anxious about these things. And so I want to speak to that a bit today. Here it is that you have from Mark. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven. The powers in heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Hopefully you're hearing a little bit of a, wait, I think I just heard that in Daniel. And then he will send out angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And again, as we read this, it might be like, okay, I kind of maybe get about 50%. Like, it's all English. I can identify that. But what's going on here? What is Jesus saying? And there's something about the future, something that's going to take place. I just want to quick jump over to the prophet Joel, who notes, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What I'm trying to communicate is that while there's a lot of things that are discussed about the end of this age, and things that in our lack of understanding can cause anxiety, can cause confusion, frustration. What do I need to do? What do I need to think about these things? What do I need to know? What does God want me to know? I just want to throw up that one phrase there. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I feel like Jesus had to have this on his mind, and even though he doesn't quote that exact part, still he notes how it is that in those days the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Jesus continues, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So what do we know at this point? We know that our Lord and Savior Jesus has told to his disciples he is going to return. And that will herald in the end of this age. The age that we are currently living in which, on the one hand, we know that Jesus has died for our sins. And we believe in the promise that we will one day enjoy eternity with him. But we are still in a place where we struggle and wrestle with our own sin. We struggle and wrestle with the sinful world around us. We're still tempted by the devil and his minions. Then this is a struggle. For truly Christ has died for your sins, and yet at the same time the fullness of the significance of that act will not come to pass until the age to come. So he says, concerning that day, no one knows, not even the Father at that moment. In other words, Jesus is limiting himself, for he is fully God, and yet he is limiting his godness. He's limiting his capacity for his reasons. I don't know, but he says the Son does not know at this moment. But he says it's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. So Jesus says, I'm coming back. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this is good news that Jesus is coming back. But what are you to do in the meantime? You are to stay awake. In other words, you are to continue to follow your Lord and Savior Jesus. Continue to walk as his disciple. Continue to follow where he leads you. He promises to you he is coming back. Now, it's interesting, as I was reflecting upon this and thinking about different promises of God, sometimes the temptation might be for us, whoever see promises of God, to say, I want them right now. In other words, I don't want to wait for the age to come. I want to have, as it is promised, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, all the former things taken away. I want that now. Why is it not that we who follow the one who has dominion over all the earth, that right now we don't experience any hardship? Why is it right now that everything is not perfectly easy for us? And as I was reflecting upon that, I thought about Abraham. It's interesting to me. Abraham is called all the way back in Genesis 12. And God takes him from the land that he grew up in, takes him away from his family, and God says to him, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And he promises, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, that's a pretty cool promise. Imagine you go and have a conversation, and if somebody is rude to you, you're like, okay, well, that's a bummer, but I know God's got my back there. Or, you know, hey, I'm going to go talk to somebody and I have a wonderful conversation with them, and I know God is going to bless them as they have blessed me. Sounds pretty cool. So God has already promised Abram, this is how it will be for you. With the bigger picture that all the families of the earth will be blessed through this one man who God chose. But then what happens? Still in the same chapter of Genesis, chapter 12. There was a famine in the land. See, Abraham had gone out to the land, kind of perused, got seen a little bit, foretaste of what was to come. But there's a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was severe in the land, and when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Now, mind you, again, God just said, hey, I'm going to bless you, and anyone who curses you, I'm going to curse. Like, you're going to be fine. But oh my gosh, these Egyptians are going to kill me. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to say, my wife, you are actually my sister. And this could work out really well for us. See, if they think you're my sister, then they'll have to work with me for a dowry. So they're going to pay me huge. All right, we are going to be taken care of and blessed by this, Sarai. All right, let's do this. Now, what he probably didn't plan on, or maybe, you know, in his mind, he's thinking, this is working out way better than I could have imagined. It was actually some of the officials of Pharaoh who see Abram and his wife claimed sister and says, "Ooh, she's pretty. Let's tell Pharaoh about her." And so Pharaoh takes her into his house and pays a sevenfold dowry with lots of animal and livestock and lots of servants. But God is not cool with this. Because in essence, by one man taking another man's wife, the first man, in this case Pharaoh, is in essence cursing Abram. And God said something about those who curse you, I will curse. So God rains down curses upon the Egyptians. What's sad and ironic is that Abram, who was supposed to be a blessing to people, now himself has become a curse to people. And so Pharaoh finds out and drives Abram away, and he goes away with his wife and all the stuff. Sounds good, right? But if you read the next chapter, there's a problem with all the livestock. See, him and his nephew Lot are fighting over the land. And now, where previously you had unity of brothers, now there is division. And then jump forward three chapters, and you have this confusion between Abram and Sarai, and they're not getting pregnant, even though God said, "Hey, you're going to have offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky." And they're like, "This doesn't seem to add up. What could be the answer?" "I know. There's this servant girl that you got from the Egyptians. Maybe this is the answer." And if you know anything about what the Bible says about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and all that, it doesn't go well. And this is just one example. There's so many examples in the Bible of times where God makes a promise and he will keep it and be good, but he has a timing with his promises. That humans who don't know that much, well, we get a little impatient for. I was thinking about this sermon. Last night we ordered pizza from Papa John's again, so I had to trek a little ways to get there. And I had to wait 40 minutes for my pizza after I got there. It's 20 minutes away. I was not happy. Thankfully, I have a loving, patient wife who was kind to me. But the point I'm trying to make is that that's just, you know, one small thing. And yet God promises, "Look, I'm coming back. And it's going to be awesome. I have gone and prepared a place for you, and it's going to be awesome." But sometimes we are tempted to think, "God, I don't really like the way things are right here, right now. So I'd rather you not call me to serve the people that I'm around right now, and I'd rather you just come back right now. How's that sound? Or what if you would take me away from these people who you've called me to serve because I don't really want to talk to them anyway, and instead I just get to have this nice little wonderful blessing right over here. How's that sound, God? Yeah? I'll still believe in you. Yeah?" In other words, we still wrestle with our sin. We still are likely to say, "God, I like your promise to us, but I don't really like your timing or your way. Can we do it my way instead?" And the same thing even happens with, as we reflect upon Jesus promising, "I am going to come back." And whether it's an anxiety, "I have to know every single facet of everything that possibly could come about. And because I don't know, I'm worried." When all you need to know is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or we're impatient for the timing. The promise that God has given us can sometimes, as we receive it, lead to us falling into our own sin. So what do? We do the same thing that we are always called to do. We confess our sins before God. We acknowledge and say, "God, I am sorry that I am impatient for your timing." We say, "God, I am sorry that I am anxious about things I do not know, about the uncertainty of what is to come. God, please forgive me, a sinner." And what's astounding is that God is faithful and just, and that he forgives us our sin, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't do this because, you know, we're so awesome. You know, we gave that 10%, and so now God's like, cool, you're righteous. No, he does it because that's who he is. For he is a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He is a God who loves his creation and loves those whom he has created in his image. A God who loves each and every one of you. A God who loves each and every human that is outside of this building. A God who desires that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So when it comes to the end things, do not let it be a source of anxiety for you. Don't worry about the fact that you don't know every single facet and detail of what is to take place. What you need to know is that Jesus is coming back. And that's glorious. And what you need to know is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's glorious. And what you also need to know is that right now, while you are waiting, God has work for you to do. He says, go and serve your neighbor. Go and tell the world about me. Of people who do not know the goodness of God. And he does not leave us alone. But he has also given us his Holy Spirit, who counsels us concerning all truth, who guides us in the way of righteousness. So my encouragement this week is to pray about these things that I've discussed with you today. Say, God, I don't really understand everything about it, but I thank you that you have revealed what you have. But Lord, you have given me jobs to do. Help me to do those. Give me the clarity and strength to do what you call us to do. Amen. At this time, we'll gather our tithes and our offerings, and I invite you to please fill out your attendance in the folder, the black folder that's found in your pew, and we will sing our offering song.
Silence the boast of sin and grace.
We now have an opportunity to confess what it is that our God has taught us about himself. And today, to do that, we're going to be using the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. My friends, it is now time to pray and to bring our petitions, our concerns to our God in heaven. At this time, I would like to, we have three people that are, two that just had surgery and one that is going to be having surgery. Betty Stamberger just had heart surgery. She's here with us this morning, and we want to give praise and thanksgiving for her recovery. We also want to pray for Carl Valen, which is Lars' father, who just had bypass surgery. And we want to pray for Fred Meissner. He's going to be going into surgery soon. So let us come before our Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much that you have given us this beautiful day to praise you and to be in your presence, Lord, to witness, Lord, a baptism, to remember the day that we were brought into the faith, Lord, as we look forward to the day when all of this comes to an end and we will live in your glory forever, Lord. And Lord, we know that there's some crazy things that are going to happen between now and then, but Lord, we know that you are God of all things and that all of these things are in your hands, and that you will never leave your people alone, but you will walk with us as we walk through all the challenges of life. Lord, I pray especially for the for those who are in surgery or recovering from surgery and about to have surgery. Lord, please be with Carl. Lord, help him to recover from his heart bypass surgery. Lord, I thank you that you've been with that you were with Betty and her doctors, Lord, that her heart valve replacement, Lord, went so very well, and that she is now back in church with us. And Lord, I pray that you would be with Fred, Lord, as he heads into his surgery as well. Lord, just help him to be aware that you are holding him in your arms the entire time. And Lord, that we are all here to pray for him and to love him as well. Lord, I pray that you would continue to love and to bless all of your children here at St. Mark's, Lord. The young children and the old children, Lord, alike, that each and every single one of us would continue to grow in that faith that you planted in our hearts in our baptism and that you have nourished for all of these years. Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly know you and to walk with you, Lord, every day. Help us to love you and trust you so that we can have peace in all circumstances. All this we pray, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Music. Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, and live.
Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain.
So sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus,
and live.
Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to cry. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall.
So follow Jesus. Jesus, follow Jesus, and live.
Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain,
then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live.
And the love spills over, and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside,
then
dance, my Jesus. Dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. And live.
And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side.
And fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. And live. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. And live.
My friends, once again, our God has shown himself. He is here. He has greeted us here. He has been here for us in his body and blood. And through this body and blood, he blesses us with forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And because we know his promise is true, we can depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings, yeah you were, and now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
my days, all my days. So let your whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
Please have a seat. Children, at this time, if you're heading to Sunday school, you can head out to the lobby and Miss Lauren will meet you out there and take you away. They'll bring you back too, but they're going to take you away for now. One thing I want to point out, you see these? You see how low the candle is getting? Do you know what that means? We need oil in our lamps. It's another one of those times in the Bible where we're taught that we're supposed to have the oil in the lamp and that we're going to, that the idea is that we are prepared when the bridegroom comes. This is the last day of the church year, and I thought it was a great illustration of God got us through the service in his grace. The light didn't go out, but we want to make sure that we have oil in our lamp and that we are, that our faith is strong and that we are eagerly anticipating the coming of the one who is going to take us to heaven forever. Just thought that was a fun thing to say. Anyway, moving along, let's see here. Lights. If you guys look around, all the lights are on. I know, it's amazing. There is a little software tweak that needs to be finished, but other than that, we will not be in the dark. It's a great relief to me. The light switches finally died the day they came to install the new lights. So it was, again, just like this, God got us through, right? It's amazing. Anyway, let's see here. Thanksgiving Eve service is coming up this Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and then we're going to be heading right into the Advent schedule. Advent schedule is in your bulletins. There's some kids programs and stuff that are going to be mixed in there. But on the days that we have Advent service, we're going to meet beforehand at 6 o'clock for a soup and salad meal. If you want to bring food for that, that would be really appreciated. There's a sign-up sheet on the connection desk out there. And then we'll have service at 7. All right? With that, stick around for Bible study afterward. I'll be teaching Bible study in room 105. For those who are not helping Lauren doing cantata practice, what else is? Oh, in the women's Bible study. There's a lot of stuff going on this morning, but if you don't have anything else going on, come over and hang out with us. We're going to be talking about the incarnation of Jesus and what it means that he is coming to earth. There's so much content behind that whole thing that happens on Christmas. And so we're going to be heading into the Christmas season with a little bit more theological depth. Outstanding. God's blessings on your week. I'll see you in the back.